This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Jason and Liz Burns in Access Church in Lakeland and Bartow, Florida. For more information, visit access.tv.
Well, good morning and welcome to Access Church. Come on, how we doing? Man, it's such an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet, I'm Terrell, and I get to serve as the North Lakeland location pastor. And man, it's been awesome. North Lakeland, I just want to shout you out. I love you. Miss you. I'll be back with you next week. But hey, if you're newer to Access, we are one church that meets in three physical locations. So right now we are live in South Lakeland, we're live in North Lakeland, we're live in Bartow with my guy, Pastor Derek, and hundreds of places online. So church family, help me welcome everybody to church today. Come on. Man, it's going to be a great day. So, you know, when I walked in this morning, I was like, it's a holiday weekend, and I'm looking around, so many people, this is a holiday weekend, and you showed up to church today. So because of that, I got something for you. I was only going to speak 55 minutes, but you'll get 57 today. You'll get 57. No, I'm just kidding. We'll get you out to lunch on time. But hey, I'm super excited to dive in today. We've been in a series titled, Let's Talk About It. And if you've been to Access for any amount of time, something that we do on Easter is that we give out a survey. And one of the questions is, what is something that you want us to talk about this year? And we get so many different topics. So that's what this series is about. So as Pastor Jason would say, if you don't like this series, then that's on you. But I'm super excited to dive in today. What we're gonna be talking about today is something that each and every person has. And that is desire. And see, when you think of desire, I know your mind can go to 100 different places. Maybe you think about something that you've been praying for. Maybe you desire to be married. Maybe you desire to have kids. Maybe you desire to be successful. Maybe you desire for like financial health. Maybe you desire to have Chick-fil-A on Sunday. You know, like there's so many things that we may desire. But let me start with this. Before we start, this is what I need you to understand, is that desire at its root isn't bad. Okay, I need you to get that. Desire at its root isn't bad. Like, I actually believe that God created us with the capacity to desire. Like, there are good things that we should desire. For instance, scripture says that we should desire God, that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we should desire spiritual gifts. So there are good God-given longings inside of us. And for today's purposes, matter of fact, but before I define it, I also want to say this, is that today isn't about, this isn't a message on how to get rid of your desires. Today is a message about what happens when your desires get out of order. So for today's purposes, this is how we're going to define desires. The strong pull towards something we believe will satisfy us. So I need you to write that down. Desires is the strong pull towards something we believe will satisfy us. And here's the thing, the last part of that matters. Because something that we believe will satisfy us, because here's what desire does. It will look at something, whatever it may be, and it will say this, if I just have that, whatever it is, if I just have that, I'll feel better. I'll finally feel okay. I'll finally be content. I'll finally feel successful. I'll finally feel secure. I'll finally feel some relief. And here's the thing, is that whatever this may be, it itself may not even be bad. See, North Lakeland Bartow, this is what I need you to get, is that the issue isn't always what you want. The issue is what you're willing to do to get it. So today, here's a question that I want us to wrestle with. If you're taking notes, write this down. Is what do I do when what I want right now competes with what I want most? What do I do when what I want right now competes with what I want most? And like, here's the thing, we've all been here. So I'm gonna share a funny story. Years ago when Sydney and I, when we were engaged, man, I remember during that time, like we were locked in on our health goals. Like we were locked in the gym. So if you was to see us in the gym, you'd be like, man, are these guys training for like the CrossFit Games or what? Yeah, nobody really thought that. But we were working our heart. Like we were giving it our best. Because here's the thing, I had this fear. I had this fear of showing up on my wedding day and not being able to fit my suit. Like, I don't know if any man has ever felt that, but like that was a fear of mine. So I was working hard. I was hitting the gym. And Lord willing, man, God's favor. Come on. Favor ain't fair. I showed up on the wedding day, no buttons, hitting my bride, I fit my suit, and it was all great. But here's the thing. I remember after the wedding, Sydney and I, we had a serious conversation. We had a sit-down conversation, and we were like, hey, we're going to like, we're going to keep these habits up. We're going to stay serious about our goals. Like, we're going to stay disciplined. We're going to stay in the gym. We were having this talk, and I mean, it was great. It was like motivational music playing in the background. Like, we were locked in on this. And then someone introduced us to a Domino's brookie. And listen, if you've never had a Domino's brookie, first of all, I'm sorry. This is one of their finest creations. And here's the thing. Someone, I don't know who they are, but I love them so much, said, why are we making people choose between a brownie and a cookie when they can have both? And I said, yes and amen to that. Come on, somebody. And here's the thing about a Domino's brookie. You can't just like eat it by itself, right? Like you gotta warm it up, get the chocolate melt in, and you gotta get like a few scoops of ice cream with it. Like that's how you do it. That's good stewardship of that. But here's the thing about the brookie. It's not like we were just eating this thing like, you know, once a week. I mean, we had this thing like a couple times a week. And here's the thing, I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of it. You know, I'm not here bragging. Would I do it again? Am I doing it now? Like, that's not the question. But here's what's crazy, is that how we had this serious conversation about what we wanted most, like how healthy we wanted to be. We were like, man, Lord willing, if the Lord bless us with children one day, we want to be healthy for our kids, be able to play with our grandkids. We wanted that. But then in the moment, we also knew what we wanted. And it was the brookie. And I don't know how many of you have been in a spot like that where you knew what you wanted most, but you gave into what you wanted right in that moment. And see, here's the thing. It's funny when we're talking about a brookie, but a lot of us face the same tension when it comes to our lives. See, a lot of us are like, man, I want to be financially healthy. Like, I want to be a good steward with my finances. But every time a good deal hits your inbox, you feel like you got to go buy something. Like a lot of us, we could say, I want a healthy marriage. Like that's what I want most. I want that most. But right now, I really want to win this argument. Like a lot of us can say, hey, I want to live a life of integrity. But right now, cutting corners feels like this will get me to my result the fastest. And see, that's where desire gets complicated. Because a lot of times we think desire is between something that we don't want and something that we want. But sometimes it's between two things that you really want. So in that point, what do you do? And if you're in North Lakeland or Bartow and you're dealing with this, I want to let you know this, is that you are not alone. This is not just a you problem. This isn't just this generation problem. It's not even just a 2026 problem. See, today we're going to take a look at a story in scripture of a guy who was battling the same tension over 4,000 years ago. And I believe that there's going to be some wisdom that we can learn from this piece of scripture. So before we dive in, I want to give you some context, because if you don't have context, you make a con out of the text. Write that down, because that's good. It's a good principle when you're reading scripture. So let me give you some context. So the guy we're going to talk about in Genesis 25, his name is Esau. And but before we dive into Esau in Genesis 25, we gotta go back a few generations to his grandfather Abraham. Okay. Now here's the thing: if you grew up in church camp, you may be familiar with Abraham. There was a song, "Father Abraham had many sons." So yeah, I didn't go to church camp. Cool, got it. No, so Abraham, he's like a big deal. He has like a direct line to God. So God says to Abraham, he makes a promise to Abraham saying, I am going to bless you. I am going to turn you into a good nation. And through your offspring, through your family, I am going to bless the world. So this is a big deal. So then Abraham, you got to stay with me. I'm going to give you some history on the family tree. So you have Abraham. Then he has a son named Isaac, right? And that promise that God gave Abraham passes to Isaac. And then Isaac gets married to this gal named Rebecca. And then Isaac's like, God, Rebecca can't have kids. So who is this promise going to go to? So now you have a problem. So he prays, he pleads to God. And then God answers their prayer. Rebecca becomes pregnant. Y'all ready for the scripture? So Rebecca becomes pregnant, and it actually says this. It says, here's the fun fact is, when Rebecca was pregnant, she got pregnant with twins, and it's who'd have known as Jacob and Esau, and it said they were struggling, like, within their belly. So, like, they were, like, fighting long before they were even out of the womb. Anybody got kids? You deal with that 24/7. So that is these brothers, and that's where we pick up in Genesis 25. So it says this. When the boys grew up, they could not have been any more different. Esau became a skillful hunter and preferred to be outdoors. Jacob, on the other hand, grew up to be a contentless man, content to stay at home. Esau was Isaac's favorite because he was fond of good meat, but Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. Family drama all over, I'm telling you. One day, while Jacob was cooking a stew for dinner, Esau came in from the field. He was tired and hungry. Esau says to his brother Jacob, "Please let me have some of that red stew you have there. I'm famished." And that's why his nickname, that's why he was nicknamed Edom, which means red. See, I love this version. I love this this translation of scripture because it, like, gives you context as you're going. It says, Jacob sees Esau's weakness and desires to take advantage of the situation. And that's where you go, like, dun, dun, dun. Jacob says this, "First, you have to sell me your birthright." And see, I just want to pause right there because the birthright is a big deal. And a few chapters later in Deuteronomy, we learn that the birthright goes to the firstborn son. And what it is, it's a double inheritance, and you become the leader of the clan. So, like, this is a big, big deal. And Jacob is saying, first, you have to sell me your birthright. Esau says this, "Look, I am about to die of starvation. What good is this birthright to me if I am dead?" Jacob says, "Swear to me first." And so Esau swore to Jacob and handed over his birthright as a newborn son. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. Esau ate and drank. When he was satisfied, Esau went on his way as if nothing happened. Esau treated his valuable birthright contemptuously. And see, there are two things that I want us to keep in mind for the rest of this message. And the first thing is this, is that you have the bowl. Right? And the bowl is what represents what I want most. And for, like, Esau, like, this was something that he could see, that he could feel, that he could taste, that he could smell. It was right here in his possession. He has the bowl. And the second thing is the birthright. You may not be able to see it now, but the birthright is what I want most. This was inheritance. This was the birthright. This was one of the most important things. But the tension becomes, why would Esau trade what he wanted most for what he just wanted now? And I don't know how many of us have ever been in that situation where we knew what we wanted most, but we settled for something we want now. Like we know that the life that God is calling us to live is here, but we're settling for things of this world right now. And if you've ever found yourself in this situation, I think that we can gain a lot of wisdom from Esau's story. See, the first thing that we see in this is that desire gets loud. And see, like, the moment, like this becomes the thought and the feeling that you can't shake. Like, desire gets loud. And then when you mix that with being tired, running on empty, because the scripture says he was famished, he was depleted, he was tired. And when you're tired, anything starts sounding good. See, in verse 32, it says, "Look, I am about to die." And I'm like, that is an extreme statement. Like, how does Esau move from "I'm hungry" till "I'm about to die"? If you're taking notes, write this down. Because desire, a depletion gives desire a megaphone. Like, depletion gives desire a megaphone. See, there are certain desires that become a whole lot louder when you are depleted. When you're anxious, when you're tired, when you don't feel good enough, when you're rejected, when you're discouraged, a lot of the things that you normally would say no to start screaming loud in your ear. Okay, you don't believe me? Anybody here ever been on a road trip? Anybody ever been on a road trip? Okay, you ever been on a road trip and like, and it's nothing but the highway and green grass, and you're just going, and like you're not too hungry at this point. It's like you pass some food places, and you're like, oh, I'm fine. I don't want that. I don't want no McDonald's fish sandwich. You know, like so you just keep going down the road, and the next thing you know, you're like, I know it's better food down the road. You keep going, and then you look around when you're starving, your belly's grumbling. You're like, there's not any good options around here. So then you stop at a gas station, and you're like, well, I guess the gas station hot dog don't sound too bad, right? Like, I'm going to turn it to Gordon Ramsay in here and, like, doctor this thing up. But that is what depletion does. Something that you would have said no to 2 hours ago now sounds good to you. And here's the thing. The hot dog didn't change. The value of the hot dog didn't change. You changed. And that's what we do with our lives, right? Like, you get lonely, and suddenly that relationship that you know is no good for you starts sounding like a good idea. You get exhausted, and that compromise that you promised yourself that you would never make doesn't seem like that big of a deal. You get insecure, and you start chasing the approval of everyone around you. You get discouraged, and now quitting feels like wisdom, and that is Esau in this text. Esau says, I'm about to die, and I wish somebody was there and told Esau, like, Esau, brother, you are being dramatic. You are just hungry. But here's the thing that we have to catch, and you should write this down, is be careful when I want starts sounding like I need it. Be careful when I want it starts sounding like I need it. Like, I don't know if there's any parents in here or any older siblings. Like, I'm the oldest sibling, which means I'm like the alpha of the family. So I have, and I have two younger brothers. And the next one closest to me is 13 years in age. And honestly, the guy's like taller than me now. But here's the one thing you need to know about my brothers. Those boys beg. Like, they just, like, they are always begging for something. So, like, they'll call me, they'll be like, Rel, I need money for 2K, or I need money for V-Bucks. And I'm like, you don't need this. You need food, you need oxygen, and you need to stop requesting Cash App requests, you know? Like, you stop requesting money on Cash App. Like, that's what you need to do. I'm like, you really, really want this, but you don't need it. And us as adults, we're no different. We just have more sophisticated V-Bucks. We say things like, man, I need someone. I need this relationship. I need success. I need this opportunity. I need another drink. I need to tell them how I feel. I need this purchase. And here's the thing. I don't know if this is true about you, but this is true about me, is that once I convince myself that I need something, I can justify almost anything to get it. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm the best salesman when it comes to myself. I'm like, right? I'm like, great, sounds good, agreed. Yep, sounds like a great idea, right? But this is where desire becomes dangerous with Esau, because hunger wasn't Esau's problem. Like, his appetite was legitimate. Like, the bowl wasn't evil. Like, eating was not sinful. The problem was that he allowed the bowl to dictate what he did next. He gave the bowl authority. And the times that we give the bowl authority the most in our lives is when we are depleted. And a lot of times when we're depleted, we don't feel good enough, or whatever the case may be. Instead of running to God, we run to things of this world, hoping that these things will fill us, hoping that these things will show up for us. But nothing will satisfy us like God. Come on, anybody believe that? So here's the thing that I don't want to ask you right now. Is, where are you depleted? Where are you depleted right now? Because maybe the most dangerous thing in your life right now isn't the boat. Maybe it isn't what you desire right now. Maybe it's how hungry you are. Maybe it's how lonely you have become. Maybe it's how tired you are. Maybe it's how much you really, how badly you want relief. And then my second question is this: what is getting louder in your life because you're depleted? Because Esau, hunger was never, like, here's the thing I need you to catch with Esau. is that him being hungry never changed the value of the birthright. Like when Esau was out in the field and he was hunting, and when he came inside and he had that encounter with his brother, the birthright was still worth the same amount. After Esau traded away, the birthright was still worth the same amount. That didn't change. Esau's perspective on the birthright changed. And I need somebody here today to know this, is that something in your life right now, it may be screaming for your attention. It could be a relationship. You could be, and like, for all my single people in the room, like, you may be in a relationship right now, and you're like, man, God, would you bless this? And God is like, would you be in a relationship that honors me? So I need us to get it. Do not change your perspective on the value of what you want most for what you want right now. Desire gets loud, especially when we're depleted. The second thing that we learn from Esau is that desire distorts value. See, Esau says, what good is this birthright to me? And like, for me, that's like one of the craziest sentences in this story, because the birthright, like I said, didn't become less valuable. It didn't lose its valuable. Esau lost his perspective on the value. So I need you to write this down. Desire doesn't change what's valuable. It changes what feels valuable. So for all my married people in here, like, your marriage didn't suddenly become less valuable. Your integrity didn't suddenly become less valuable. Your calling from God didn't suddenly become less valuable. Your relationship with God didn't suddenly become less valuable. The bowl that's right in front of you just got louder. But I got to stay focused on what I want most, not just what I want right now. See, the birthright asks you, man, what is going to matter far beyond this moment? But the bowl asks, what do you want right now? And for you, you got to choose which one. So a good question to ask yourself is, what is this going to cost me? Because here's one thing, that's the last thing we learned about desires from the story, is that desire ignores the price tag. Like the desires don't care about the price tag. Jacob doesn't say this to his brother. He doesn't say, here, have some stew. He says, sell me your birthright. Like, there's a cost attached to it. There's a cost attached to it. You know the worst time to go grocery shopping? Is when you're hungry. Like, a lot of people have done that one, right? Like, you'll walk in for some eggs, leave with $86 worth of snacks, and then you look back tomorrow like, what was I doing? Like, you let your desires lead you. The worst time to shop for something is when you feel depleted of it. Like, don't do that. Esau's mistake isn't that he simply wanted the bowl. It's just that he didn't focus on what he wanted most. So here's the thing I need us to understand is that things like this doesn't just happen overnight. Like it's not just one thing that leads us to this. It's usually compromise after compromise after compromise after compromise that leads us to this. So here's what I need you to understand is that in Genesis 25:34, the sequence that we see is that Esau, he ate, he drank, he got up, he left. And eventually Esau wasn't hungry anymore, but the trade was real. Like, the meal was temporary, but the trade wasn't. So I need somebody to understand this. Don't trade what you want most for what you want right now. Like, some of you are like, God, would you send me the person of my dreams, right? But don't trade what you want most but just settle for something right now. So let's honor God in every area of our lives. I gotta ask myself, is the bowl really worth my birthright? So the question becomes, is there a better way to live? And it's like 100% through Jesus. See, I love what Matthew 4 says this. It says, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And see, here's why I love scripture, because scripture is just so real. It says Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, which means that he was hungry. Like, the Bible doesn't pretend that he wasn't hungry. The hunger is real. The desire is real. The wanting for food is not sinful. I need you to get that. But Jesus did not submit his appetite to his future to the appetite. So here's the difference between Esau and Jesus. Actually, here's the same thing. Esau was hungry, Jesus was hungry. Esau had a legitimate appetite, Jesus had a legitimate appetite. Neither one of those things were wrong. The issue is this: who gets to be in charge? The appetite or God? See, I wrote it down like this, is that Esau submitted his future to his appetite, Jesus submitted his appetite to the Father. And see, that's the difference. See, my hunger is real, but it is not my master. Because desires make terrible masters. See, Paul says in Corinthians that nothing of this world should be our master. We got to give our lives to God and trust him that he knows what is best for us. And see, a lot of times when we are depleted, we run from the one who really can help us, and that is Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example. And I know we're like, well, Jesus is a perfect example because he's God. But I'm like, if we just followed his ways, if we followed his teachings, maybe we will be able to have as much willpower as he did. And here's the thing. You can't do it on your own. You need Jesus and you need people. And that's why I love this Sunday, because groups is starting here. And I got a natural next step for each and every person that is in this room. Like, get involved with an access group. Do not do life alone, because there are going to be times in your life where the bowl, that your desires look so tempting. Something that you want right now looks so tempting, but you need somebody to tap your shoulder and be like, hey, no. I need you to be focused on what you want most, because if you give in to this right now, you may trade in for what you want most. And God wants to do so much in you and through you, but you cannot choose the immediate over the ultimate. Like that's one thing we have to do. We have to choose the ultimate over the immediate. Right? And like, what is the ultimate in your life? What is God's will for your life? I can tell you this. It's to be obedient to him, to submit your whole life to him, to allow him to work through you, to grow his kingdom. But what decisions am I making today that may jeopardize my tomorrow? I have to think about that. So I got to get around the right people. When I get around the right people, I have to be vulnerable. I have to answer real questions. I have to answer a question like this. Is what do I want most? Like, ask yourself this. What do you want most? Like, name this bowl. Is it attention? Is it love? Is it sex? Is it approval? Is it comfort? Like, what is it? Like, name it. You have to name this bowl, because if you can't name it, it's hard to know what's actually pulling you. So name it. Maybe this bowl for you is popularity. Maybe you're like, man, I really want to be known, and I don't care what it takes for me to get it. Whatever that bowl is, you have to name it. And the second question you got to ask is, what do I want most? Now, this is a time where you zoom out and you really ask, who do I want to become? Like, who do I want to be? Who is God calling me to be? What kind of marriage do I want? What kind of integrity do I want to have? What kind of future am I praying for? Like, that's your birthright. That's what you want most. That's what you don't want to trade for anything. So I got to ask myself, what do I want right now? What do I want most? And the last question is, which choice moves me towards what I want most? Because here's what I know, is that it's one thing to know what you want, and it's one thing to know what you want most, but you have to make a decision, because every choice that you make is taking you somewhere. The question is that choice taking you where you want to go? And if you want a healthy marriage most, ask yourself, does this choice move me towards it? If you want purity most, does this conversation move me towards it? If you want to be emotionally healthy, but holding on to this offense, does this move you towards it? I want to follow Jesus, but does this decision move me towards him? Because everybody in this room has a boat. That's no question. Everybody in this room has a boat. But you can want the boat without bowing to the boat. Okay, I need you to get that. You can want the boat without bowing to the boat. I truly believe this, is that God created each and every person on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. But there's so many things in this world that would like to distract you from that. It would like to put things right in front of your face. And here's the thing, some of those things aren't bad, but as long as it distracts from what God really wants to do in your life, then that's enough. See, we say it all the time that if the enemy can't make you sin, he'll just make you distracted. And once you start focusing on things that don't line up with your calling, then you are distracted. So what is your bowl? Know what it is, but know what you want most. So all over this room, would you pray with me? Would you close your eyes and would you bow your head? Father, we come to you today. Lord, you know all of our desires. God, you know each and everything that we are going through. Lord, you know everything that we're battling, Lord. Lord, and today we submit our desires to you, Lord. Lord, would you remind us on what you want most for our life, Lord. Lord, would we lay down what we want at your feet, Lord, and be obedient to what you want to do, Lord. We trust you. Lord, and when we live in the world that would like to distract us, like us to focus on things that are not of you, Lord, would you give us the strength? Would you give us the willpower? Would you give us the people that we need to carry out the calling that you have placed on our lives? Lord, we can't do it without you. Lord, we don't want to do it without you. Come on, and if you agree, would you say amen? Amen. And hey, with all eyes closed and all heads still bowed, maybe you're here today and it's your first time hearing about this. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever been asked, what are your desires? You didn't even know that you're supposed to order your desires. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart in the first place. Maybe you've had the wrong thing on the throne of your heart. What if today was the day that you said, God, I am putting you back into your rightful place. God, I am putting you on the throne in my heart. God, I want you to lead me. God, I want you to direct me because I trust that you know what's best for me. If you're here today and you're ready to follow Jesus for the first time, or you're ready to rededicate your life to him, would you just have 3 seconds of boldness and would you just slip your hand up right now? If that's you, all over, at all of our locations, all over this room, would you just slip your hand up? Would you just have some boldness? No one's looking. Come on, I see you. I see. Praise God. Praise God. You can put your hands down. See, I think that you just made the best decision that you can make. But here's the thing. Scripture says this, is that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So a prayer can change everything if you believe it. So right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say a prayer with me. And here's the thing, we're not going to make you say it alone. We're going to say it all together as a family. So would you repeat after me? Would you just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I trust you. I give you my desires. God, would you order them? Because I submit them to you. God, would you save me? Would you make me new? Jesus, I accept you into my heart to lead me forever and ever and ever. And all of God's people say, amen. Come on, let's celebrate all those that made that decision today.